and it makes the
we have to go to KPFK.
And you'll supply me with the body armor.
We only have enough for one side, back or front.
KPFK, KPFK, front and center.
Eva. It's short. We're just kicking ass.
Very low cost. Very low cost. I mean, a fraction.
Turn your back to us and just face them.
Go ahead and begin.
Testing.
Hi.
Attention, please.
Is this thing on, Otis? I might lose my voice. Some of you might know. Is this thing on?
I don't think so.
Hold it a little away from you because it saturates easily.
Hi, can everybody hear me?
You know what? Hold on.
Okay, that's better. Some of you might know that KPFK is still in fund drive. Our fund drive was scheduled until tomorrow night at midnight, and our goal for the fund drive is $950,000 to raise in 13 days, and we're at $930,000 now. Actually, with a web total of $35,000, we've already exceeded our goal. And our daily weekday average over the last 2 years have been $80,000 a day that we have maintained. And I think what was really good is the last, on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we raised more than $100,000 a day. So I just also want to give a shout out to my incredible staff, the volunteers and programmers at KPFK, and also our board members that come in and volunteer. Everybody, it's been a tremendous fun drive. I see Ara Bogado sitting back there. We launched a new radio show, youth show called Soul Rebel Radio, that's becoming very popular at KPFK, and I just wanted to acknowledge Ara Bogado, one of our producers. Say hi, Ara. She's also with FSRN. On May 15, KPFK launched a Spanish language version of our website that is doing very well. So now you can log on KPFK and either listen or converse in English or Spanish. Our license renewal is due on August 1st. One of the things that we talked about with our board and particularly with management was what areas we need to work on at KPFK, and part of that was news. So I'm very happy to report that for the first time we have been able to establish a budget for stringers. So now KPFK has new stringers, and we are increasing our local news. On the race and nationality proposal, KPFK submitted on behalf of the network a grant proposal to CPB, NEH, and six other funding organizations. So we're waiting to hear for responses on those. We're also working with the communities of inclusion. Our members, both Julie Rodriguez is on there and some of our other members, we've started interviewing different groups and individuals to start doing the training on race sensitivity at KPFK. We're hoping that trying to get our first training to happen in July. And what you hear is a tired voice. Some of the other challenges that we have at KPFK was that we have so many volunteers, and that with all our stations, resources are always a challenge. If you were at KPFK, you would know that the second floor was an open space. The archives are housed on the second floor. We have just built and completed an infrastructure for volunteers where we have 10 workstations for volunteers that we've set up with. So that's one of the things. And what was that? I think Zarina talked earlier, and I wanted to say something about development and how critical it is that we as a network start looking at expanding the audience base within Pacifica. And if we look at the market analysis of internet radio and just, commerce, on when we did the hearings a couple of days on KPFK, we were in Fundrive, so we decided to stream. And we had 250,000 simultaneous stream where people were listening to the hearings on our website. And it tells us that we have an audience there that we as Pacifica need to explore to generate income. I also think I manage stations in South Africa, and part of what we did there, William asked earlier, what is it that we as a board can do? I think part of your expertise, your resources, to bring that more closer into working with station managers and programmers and producers. One of the things I used to do in South Africa was we had a $1 campaign. And the thing that I would like to see us do is to bring in the labor movement. And someone talked about labor programming. And it's an area that Pacifica is just not touching much. And if we talk about social justice and peace, then we have to get involved with the labor movement more. And what I did in South Africa was we had a $1 campaign where every week the company would just automatically deduct a dollar from everybody's salary and they'll just send in the checks. But that means we have to do the programming. We have to build the relationships. So I just wanted to add that, Zarina, because I think it's really important that, like you say, Mario, we have to start going after the small donors and start building that. Some of the capital needs at KPFK, we have a roof that has been patched for 15 years, I'm told. So now during the winter, we had a lot of leaks. We also had leaks in our telco room, which is the nervous system of the station. I'm not sure what that quote is yet because we had to wait for the dry months before we can get somebody on the roof to give us a quote on that. We were given a booster. Our boost application for the Malibu booster was we received that from the FCC in, I think, April or something, and it's $15,000. We started talking to Verizon because we have to rent space from their towers for the antenna. So that we should be connecting that booster in the next month or so up in Malibu. And that's a strong area for us. It's all the way down the Pacific Coast Highway. That's a strong generating area for us in terms of money at KPFK. The backup generators, summer is tough for KPFK, and we are going to just have to spend the $70,000 to get backup generators. We've had over the last maybe 2 years anything between 6 to 8 power outages in the summer lasting up to 8 hours. So that's really a challenge. And I think with this fund drive, we're going to be able to do the backup generators. Our capital campaign, that is something that we still need to sit down with our board and do a long-term planning on a capital campaign for KPFK. The HD conversion, I've submitted that application to the CPB. We are expanding our news. I've talked about the racial nationality proposal and the website. We've started audio archiving. And also want to say that we've established something at KPFK where we have unlimited streaming available. We're now going for a second stream that we're going to launch in the next month or so, probably in the next few weeks. And it would be to archive all of our public affairs show. And we pay $500 a month for unlimited bandwidth. And I'd like to see that we look at setting that up for the network. Don't ask Marty. It's an individual that loves Pacifica, loves KPFK. He came from the commercial industry, felt that he wanted to do something meaningful. And that's what he's doing, and he's quite willing to set this up for Pacifica.
It's a colo, so we put a server in a place where they have huge bandwidth, and they let us use it. And I think it's burst expandable. In other words, we can't do unlimited all the time, but when there's burst demand, I think it scales up.
And we've been running two streams because we do the radio stream now, and we've done about 2 live broadcasts a month now from different communities. So we're able to do a second stream.
And you should cite Nate Scott, our operations director, the guy who got that.
for us?
Yeah, our operations director, Nathan Scott, has done a tremendous job with setting up our band, with being able to. We have also started, I think a year ago in Santa Barbara, we started doing, because we were having so many problems with DSL and connections, we started doing wireless broadcasts. So many of our broadcasts, live broadcasts, have been wireless. That's another thing that I'd like to see, that we talk about the network, that we start getting into that area. I think that that's it for KPFK.
LaVarne?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Eva. That's a wonderful report. It's really fascinating to hear about the things that you guys are doing there and your success. But I have a couple of questions. Just if you could tell us what you think are the major contributions in terms of cutting down the drive days to your 13-day, and then I have a follow-up question also.
Okay, we've done, over the last 2 years, our days have been 10 to 12 days in a fund drive. We're up to 30 now because we've been making $1 million. I think this is what I would like to do. I would like to write a document about KPFK's fund drives, because we have streamlined our fund drive so well that I was able to sleep in this fund drive. So, so we have streamed, and our producers during the fund drive were all saying this is the best drive we had because it was so well coordinated and organized. So I'd rather do that, because it's, I can't just give you, it's not a short answer. Just one thing?
Yeah.
The ability to make tough decisions.
Okay, all right. Management. Okay, I'd just like to follow up. You had said you expanded the news. Can you kind of like tell me what you mean? And do you have like, what is, I'm sorry, I don't listen to KPFK News, but exactly what have you done there when you say expanded the news?
We have bilingual news at 5:30 that started about a year ago. We have 12:30 news, which is our midday news, and then we now we have our evening news, which is half hour, and then FSRN. And what we're doing in terms of expanding is we were able to bring in stringers, and we're doing, our focus right now is bringing more local stories. So we're able to do it. So the expansion mainly is on local stories right now. Hey, Rob.
Rob.
Thank you. But can you you were having a lot of problems with jamming coming from south of the border and from some other stations. Could you just give us a brief on how that's working now?
Yeah, just a little bit of background information. In 2001, another station called XLNC1, they have their transmitter on the border of, in San Diego, right on the border. So they broadcast, they were given our signal. And that was, there's a treaty between the U.S. and Mexico. So any telecommunications decisions that gets made, these two governments, or FCC and the SCT, they have to agree on that. So our frequency was given to this other radio station. That's what happened. So we have another station, 90.7 FM, in San Diego. I have just come from them about a month ago. And what we've done, the latest is we have applied for them to be transferred. We have done independent studies with our engineers to show that they interfere with our signal. The relationship between the two stations or management is really good, because we're trying to not have a fight between two public radio stations. So we've done everything legally. We're just waiting now to hear if there's going to be a transfer. We looked into getting KPFK on cable in San Diego, but they're not very friendly towards us. So we're just waiting. We're looking at maybe doing a print we were looking at doing a print campaign in San Diego to get our listeners back. But the challenge is that San Diego is not really legally our signal area. So that's why we can't really be very bold about this.
Okay. Bob, then Steve.
Well, Eva, I really have to applaud not only your report, but the incredible work that you and the whole staff have been doing. It's really an amazing series of successes. So in light of the severe problems we're having at WBAI with fundraising, and LaVarne kind of stole my thunder, but and I hear that you're going to write a report, so I'm not going to re-ask her question, but aside from particular tricks and techniques of planning a successful drive, tricks are good. Shortcuts, whatever. No, but I want to ask the question more broadly. What you know, looking back over the time of your tenure, the last couple of years, or whatever period you want to pick, what do you think have been the major big picture factors that have led to such strong listener response to the pledge drives?
I think a number of things. One, when it comes to the fund drive, the most important thing is nobody can do it alone. You have to do it as a team. And if the team is not together, it doesn't matter what you do. So this is really a time when everybody is on board. And but I think we've done a lot of program changes at KPFK. We do tremendous amount of outreach, live broadcasts from the community. We're out there, and we know everywhere that we go, we're making a difference. So I think it's a lot of different things. When it comes to the success of the fund drive, I think our producers have become so good at finding that great premium that works well. During the fund drive, we make decisions on an hourly basis as to do we shift, do we change, what work, what's not working. So it's constant. But as I said, the teamwork, getting the community involved, letting the community know that we care by being out there. So I think there's a variety of things that happened over the last 3 years of my tenure at KPFK that adds to the success of this, of the fund drives.
Just a quick follow-up. You mentioned programming changes. Can you say which are the, you know, like two or three most important changes you think in increasing listenership and financial support?
Underserved communities that felt for a long time that they were isolated from KPFK. I'll give you an example. We launched a show 2 months ago called Beautiful Struggle that focused on addressing the issues of the black community, the history of the black community, the struggles of the black community, but not in a way that you isolate others, in the way that you're educating and informing. And that show in an hour, and Otto was there, and we were amazed. That show, for their first fund drive, raised $4,200 in an hour.
At 8 o'clock at night.
At 8 o'clock at night.
On a weeknight.
Steve and then Dave.
Ambrose.
Underserved communities. What did I say?
A couple of examples.
We changed our drive time shows. We made changes to our drive time shows. We at that time, KPFK didn't have a lot of, I think we only had news in the evening. We brought news. But the main focus was to reach out to underserved communities. And then a large expansion of membership for KPFK.
Steve?
Thank you. It's great to see you doing so well there. I think that one of the positive aspects of that is that we can move from a kind of a defensive posture and start addressing some issues that we haven't been able to. And with that in mind, I'm curious if you have any sense of how much it would cost. I know the building is older and two stories, but how much it would cost to make KPFK accessible in the way that folks with disabilities need it to be?
KPFK is accessible, and I think people, I want to clarify that. And the question you should ask is to the archives when it comes to ADA, because we are in full compliance with, we have access to studios and everything else on the first floor. That is really a question for the archives, and I think that that needs to be clarified.
You said you had you'd open producer facilities on the second floor?
But we also have it on the first floor. Everything that we have on the second floor, we have available on the second floor. And so in that way, we are in compliance.
Okay. And does that satisfy the folks who have been raising this issue? Or do they have further concerns at K?
I think, no, not entirely. Of course not. And the main issue that has been brought up is the archives. And Brian is here. He can't respond to that question because according to the archives, they are not a public access facility. And I'd really rather have Brian answer that question.
Yeah, well, I don't expect you to answer the question about the archives. I was just curious because I see you have a number of capital items there, some of it deferred maintenance. And I'm not. And some of it is obviously encumbered. The HD conversion and so forth has to be used for that. But to the extent that there is any discretionary capital spending, that it be prioritized in a way that would address other issues. But I don't know what the issues are. I just thought I would bring that up.
No, well, that is one of the issues. And there's a committee that's been working on that. And they've been working on a grant application. Our chairperson, Don White, is part of that committee. But I want to emphasize that we are in compliance.
Dave. And I would just say that
I think Michael was ahead of me, but I do want to speak.
I couldn't
speak,
see you, Michael. Go ahead, Michael.
I'd just like to say one last thing.
Hold on.
Just the difference between being legally in compliance with the ADA and being compliant in a way that people who actually are trying to use the station and who have disabilities are satisfied with the measures to make it accessible to them. So that we're not technically in compliance, but that we're really in compliance. And I don't know the details, but I just want to make sure that we're addressing the concerns of the people who are here.
Well, it's an issue that's ongoing. When we built our downstairs studios now a year ago, we made the changes for our studios to be wheelchair accessible, to be able to accommodate. We're also now looking at putting Braille on our studio, on the boards in our studio. So there's things that we're constantly doing. I don't think it's just putting up an elevator and being in compliance. I think there's a whole lot of other things that we need to do to make it more accessible. And we're constantly working on it. The elevator issue is a larger project.
$100,000, something like that?
And as I said, there is a committee working on that.
Okay,
Michael.
Yeah, Eva, I commend you on your presentation. It's very substantive, and I appreciate it. One of the things that I've always been concerned about at WBAI is that we raise issues, or they raise issues, but in terms of community involvement, that has always been my critique in terms of how you actually involve yourself in the community. And you had referred to community involvement in terms of fundraising. One of the ways that they do it and WBAI is to bring people in from the community to answer phones. In my view, that's always been very limited. Could you elaborate on some of the other ways that you all have had success in terms of community involvement in terms of fundraising?
Yeah, there's something called co-sponsorships at KPFK where we run promos for organizations to promote their events. We promote maybe, I think in a week, 6 to 8 different organizations, not even more. For a month, we might go up to 40, 50 organizations that we promote on the air for the work that they do in the community. The exchange that happens is that we go out there, we have an opportunity to speak at that event, and we do outreach at those events. That's one of the things that we do. We have addressed several issues, like when the gay marriage thing came up. We did a town hall meeting with the black community, and we did a town hall meeting with the Latino community. And we also had our assembly people involved with that. We had community groups involved with that. So depending on what happens in different communities, we try and take those issues on either as live broadcasts or really get our... And I think a lot more producers are going out into the community because KPFK, if you talk about accessibility, it's not really accessible to a whole lot of people because we're up in Hollywood. So part of what our producers are good at is also getting out there in the streets and getting the voices of people. That's some of the things. I think our fundraisers, we do quarterly fundraisers, and our board members are very much involved with helping us organize and working at these fundraisers. And that's also where we pull in organizations. But there's a lot more work going on with establishing and developing relationships with community organizations. I've now started something new. A month ago, we had just kind of wine and cheese kind of thing for people from the media to meet with our news department. Now we're going to do something with all the Latino outlets and our Latino programmers so that we kind of foster those relationships and just have people come into contact with each other.
Chair, please.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Dave, yours is going to wrap it up.
One of the things we do for volunteers, they announce after every fund drive a party specifically for volunteers at a very cool club in L.A. So people know, and there's this good vibe that happens there. I just want to emphasize that the Healthy Station Project and the 5-year plan posited that people give more money the longer they listen. You need target market programming. You need blocks of programming. Target one audience. KPFK, since we got it back, went radically the other way. We have, within a given time slot across the week, we may have a show. It's called one thing, but the politics of the people who are on during each slot are radically different. You have Spanish language programming in the evening. We serve a large number of communities, and the station schedule really does have a great deal of diversity in it. So anywhere you are, we're not just depending on one community. We've got a lot of them involved, and activists from those communities are actively involved in the programming. So there is a human face out in each of the sectors that is related to the programming we're doing for those people. So it's a really repute. While those assumptions may hold for public radio about how you build fundraising, I think in Pacifica Radio, what KPFK has done repudiates that assertion and says that our audience and the way we do things works a little different. I think the success of our fundraising comes from that. So we have different voices across the week in a strip. We have different communities tuning in and out from 8 to 10 or 8 to 9:30 every night. Is that it? I don't always listen to the time. We have Spanish language programming, you know.
Thank you. Thank you, Eva.
I do want to make a comment. I just want to say thank you. I've been in this past 2 weeks. This is my third year in Pacifica, and I want to just say thank you. And I want to acknowledge the people that's been there for the last 3 years with me and say thank you. You know, we are starting to develop really good working relationships with our boards. And that's why I say it's really important that we look at the skills that we have on our board and we look at how we can tap into that. I mean, Donna Warren comes to my office and she drives me crazy sometimes. But, you know, I love you, Donna. I'm kidding. But Donna will come in and she will let us know about those community issues that's going on that we just won't know about. So if we start working from a place of each other's strength and the resources we can bring and not so much be focused on how we change this network around, but that we just start doing the little things and getting back into the community and truly do grassroots radio so that we can know that we are doing what Pacifica's mission is calling us to do. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. WBAI is not here, the general manager. So... Big one?